What is up, Northridge Church? It's so good to be with you this morning. Welcome home. Welcome to the family. And man, you made it through the cold and the wind. Man, I'm proud of you. Can I just say that? I am so proud of you. Welcome. We're honored that you're here this morning. And before we dive any farther, guys, I just think we need to celebrate what God did last weekend. 206 people went public with their faith. Come on, let's celebrate that. Woo! It was an amazing weekend, and I just want to say some thank yous. I want to thank all of our serve teams, from the people who packed bags and prayed over them, to the people cheering, to the people in the hallways doing interviews, to the people in the bathrooms, just making this day special for everybody. Thank you. Thank you to our church for just being a family, a friendly environment where people feel welcome to come, to take steps in their faith. Thanks for cheering everybody on. And then to the 206 people who got baptized last weekend, thank you for having enough faith to live in obedience to God, even in front of your peers and your family, making that bold decision. And so what happened last week isn't ordinary, right? We can't lose that excitement, that buzz that God created in the life of our church. And so I would just love to take a moment and thank God for doing what only God can do. And so would you pray with me? Father, man, we just praise you for what you did last weekend. Thank you for the lives, God, that you encountered and in the faith that you stirred up in people. Thank you that we got to be a part of it, God. Thank you for how good you are, how sweet your gospel is, and how it continues to change people's lives. And God, one thing that we do ask is we ask that you would continue to work in the life of our church. It's all about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hey, let me ask you this. If you could have 1 hour long phone conversation with anyone in the world, who would it be? Right, before you answer that, before you think in your head, who would it be, think about it. You get to have 1 hour long phone conversation with anyone. You get to pick. Who would you choose? Now, what's interesting is in a church our size, I would assume there would be vast and all kinds of different answers. Because we all look up to different people. We all have different heroes. We all admire many different people. And so the list might look like this. Some of us would say Josh Allen, Oprah, the president, Taylor Swift, Drew Karshner, Beyonce, Tom Hanks, you know, just to name a few. Who knows what we'd talk to? But just imagine tomorrow, your phone rings, it's Monday morning, right? You're drinking your coffee and you're going through your normal rhythms. You're getting ready for work, you're getting ready for school, you're getting the kids around, and your phone rings, and it's that person. And at first, you don't believe it. Hey, this is a scam, this is a recording, I don't know what it is. But after a couple minutes, you realize in your own shock, wow, this is amazing. And you wonder, like, why would they, out of all the busyness in their own lives, want to talk to me, have a conversation with me? But over that hour, you just have this amazing experience. That phone conversation is like something you always remember, that you got to talk to that person. And what's interesting is, when you think about this, God, right? You know God, the creator of the universe? God who put the stars in the sky. You know God who conquered death, who created you, knows you better than you know yourself. You know God that raises up kingdoms and brings them down. God who knows every desire of your heart. God who can make every wrong right in the world. That God has created a way for us to talk to him, for us to communicate with him. And the question I have as we begin this brand new series is, why don't we talk with him? Why don't we spend time conversing, communicating with God? Why don't we pray? You see, ultimately, this is a setup for the next 6 weeks. We're starting a brand new series this morning called Dear God. And over the next 6 weeks, we're going to talk about this term that we use in church gatherings all the time. In fact, we've experienced it already in our service, this thing called prayer. What is it? How should we use it? What does the Bible say about it? How can I grow deeper in my prayer life? What kind of prayers are there? We're gonna ask all those questions. We're gonna navigate it together in this series. And I wanna start with just the foundation. I wanna ask the simple question, what is prayer? Well, if you wanna define prayer simply, you would just say prayer is communication with God. It's us choosing to converse, to talk with God. And I know some people would say, well, isn't prayer deeper than that? Yeah, it can, but I don't think we wanna overcomplicate it. In fact, I love what Craig Rochelle says about prayer. He says this, the simplest definition of prayer is communication with God. That's it. Did you miss it? Let me say it again. Prayer is simply communicating with God. That one uncomplicated thought began to revolutionize my whole prayer life. What is communication? It is transferring a thought, feeling, emotion, or idea to another person. So prayer is giving God my thoughts, feelings, emotions, and ideas by whatever means works. It doesn't have to be formal. It doesn't have to be long and dry. It's simply communicating. That's what prayer is, right? We get to talk with God. We get to converse with God. But even in that statement, we feel this tension. Because when we do communicate with God, it feels different. It's a unique type of conversation. You see, I think it's okay to admit that. To admit that prayer is a different type of conversation than the ones we have regularly. Because all of us, we have conversations from day to day, from our family to our friends to the people we work with. And I bet you would note that when you talk to God and you talk to other people, it's different. It feels different. And some of that is because of the way God speaks to us. I'm gonna assume that most of us, when we pray, we are not hearing God audibly speak back to us. And so that's what makes it feel different. Can you imagine in our everyday relationships that was the case? Let me picture this, right? My wife and I, Ashley, we've been married for 17 years. And let's just say we took a new strategy to communication where my wife would talk to me and I wouldn't respond. Right, my wife would admit that's kind of what it's like when the football games are on, but I mean, I'm just saying. But can you imagine if she's asking me questions, she's talking to me, and I just don't talk back? That would feel different. Well, that's how we feel when we talk to God. Sometimes it's unique and it's weird because we feel like we're just talking to the air because God, most of the time, I'm not saying God doesn't speak audibly, but I'm just saying in most of our experiences when we pray, God isn't audibly talking back to us. And it's because prayer is a different type of conversation. It's a divine one. Prayer is a divine conversation. Think about that. We get to talk. We get to go to God Almighty. How amazing is that? And yet Jesus himself admitted that it was different. He let the cat out of the bag. Look at Matthew chapter 6. When Jesus is talking about prayer, he says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. So Jesus admits that prayer is unique in a conversation because you're praying to your Father who you don't see. He's actually present, just not physically. And that's different than the types of conversations that we have. I'm hoping in your regular life, you are not walking around talking to people who aren't there. If you are, please see me afterwards. We can talk about it. But that's what makes it unique. We're praying to our Heavenly Father who is unseen. And what that does is it creates tensions. It creates problems with prayer. And honestly, those tensions, this awkwardness that prayer brings into our lives causes us, honestly, you know what it does? It just causes us not to pray. Because it's unique, because it's odd, because it's a different type of conversation, we don't like it, it's different than all of our other conversations, and so the conclusion we come to is, let's just not do it. Let's not pray. And that's where I wanna start this morning in the series, is I wanna talk about our hesitations to prayer. I wanna talk about our problems with prayer. And I spent, you know, 3 months kind of just working through what I think are some of the biggest hurdles, biggest problems we have with prayer, and I narrowed it down to two.
And the first one, I know everybody feels. I know you feel it whether you just learned to pray or you've been praying for 55 years. And the first problem we all have with prayer is we would say it like this: my prayers feel ineffective. Or I've prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing actually happened. I went to God, I asked of God, and God didn't do anything. We ask the question, do my prayers actually make a difference? Do they do anything? Or am I just wasting my time? My prayers don't seem to produce any results. My prayers feel ineffective. One of the biggest hurdles we have with prayer. And out of that first hurdle comes the second one, where we would say, I'm just not sure God really hears or cares about me. Some of us, we wonder, when I pray, am I just like saying words to the sky? Am I talking to a wall or some imaginary person? Because if we're real, doesn't it feel like that sometimes? Like, who am I talking to and where are they? Because I don't see them. We wonder, does God really care about my insignificant life? And honestly, if he doesn't, I'm not sure I'd be that mad, because he's God, right? He's got bigger fish to fry. Like, keeping the world together seems like kind of a big deal. And so why would he care about what's going on in my life? Some of us would say, I just really haven't been that close to God. Like, I spent the last couple of years just kind of walking away or running from God. And so now that I choose to pray, why would God even care what I have to say? My prayers feel ineffective. And can I tell you that Jesus, the Son of God, asked for something from God and God didn't give it to him? And so at some level, Jesus can identify with some of the problems that we have with prayer. We find this moment in Jesus' life at one of his most vulnerable states, at one of the most human parts of Jesus' life in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he knows if for his life he's about ready to be arrested, go on trial, and then ultimately suffer, be humiliated, and die. And in that moment, he knows it's coming. In the Garden of Gethsemane, look what happens in Matthew 26. It says, going a little farther, he, Jesus, fell with his face to the ground and prayed. So here we see Jesus praying. And he says, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. And so Jesus, knowing what's coming, knowing what's ahead for his life, he prays. And he goes to his dad, he goes to his father, and he just simply says, Dad, is there any other way? Can you take this cup from me? Can you take the cross away? I mean, that seems like a pretty fair request. Dad, I don't wanna suffer and die. I'm not sure I want to go with this, God. Like, is there any way you can take this cup from me? And we know that this was an important prayer to Jesus. You want to know how I know that? Because he didn't pray it just once. Verse 42, he went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. So we see Jesus praying the same thing again. Like, Dad, come on, there's gotta be some other way to make this work. Do I really have to do this? And he didn't pray just once. He didn't pray just twice. Look at the text says, verse 44, he says, so we left him, his disciples, and he went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. And we're not talking about days here. We're talking about hours, maybe minutes, where Jesus prays the same thing over and over and over again. Dad, can you take this cup from me? And honestly, I think many of us, we can relate to Jesus' prayers because we're praying the same ones over and over again in our lives. We're begging and pleading with God day after day, month after month, year after year. And here's what our prayers sound like. God, heal me of my cancer. God, provide for our family because I lost my job. God, save my children because they seem to be going down a path that doesn't seem right. God, fix my broken marriage or restore my broken family. And we're praying them day after day, year after year, hoping that God would intervene just like Jesus. God, take this cup from me. And that makes us ask a question. Why didn't God give Jesus what he asked? I mean, honestly, like, I'm a dad. The father, right? Why would the father want his son to suffer and to die? Why wouldn't he grant Jesus what he asked? Let's make it more personal. Why doesn't God give us what we ask? Because I know my prayers, and I would bet I know your prayers. We're not asking for bad things. Many of us are asking for good things. Things you would think God would want. Things that you think God could easily get behind. So why doesn't God give us what we're asking? And the Bible actually teaches us, right? I'm gonna give you two reasons why. The first reason is sometimes our prayers are actually ineffective because of unconfessed sin. Now, I want to be very clear here. I want to pause here. I want everybody to get this. Because maybe you are praying and asking God for something and he hasn't come through yet. I'm not saying it always means that you have sin in your life that is interrupting your prayers. Like, that's not always the case, but I am saying it could be. The Bible clearly teaches us over and over and over again how sin, in effect, it affects our relationship with God, how it hinders us, right? Let me show you in the Bible one example of this. Psalms chapter 66, it says this, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. I mean, like, heed those words, guys. Listen to what the Bible's teaching us. It's saying, if you live a lifestyle, it doesn't matter if you show up to church and you raise your hands in song, if you live a lifestyle that is full of sin, indulges in the pleasures of sin, and you don't confess it to God, you don't walk away from it, you don't repent it, what it does is it builds this giant wall of your own sin, and you might be praying to God, but he's not hearing. Because of your own sin, unconfessed sin in your life hinders your prayer life. It gets in the way. And I'm not saying that's always the case, but if I'm asking God for something, I'm gonna be sure that I confess my sin to him. And I get it, this is not the most exciting news. It can be daunting and discouraging, but inside of our own sin is great news. Because we serve a God who is faithful to us. Look what the Bible says, that if we choose to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And not only does he forgive us, but he purifies us from all unrighteousness, that all it takes to tear down that wall between me and God is my confession to him. Me just going to God and saying, I'm a sinner, would you forgive me? And the Bible says he's ready and willing and faithful to forgive you and purify you. And when that happens in your prayer life, guess what happens? Hebrews 4, it says, then we approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And out of that, again, it says, what do we have? This is our confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. And so the first way that our prayers become effective is because of unconfessed sin. But I think the bigger one is number two. The reason why our prayers are ineffective or seem ineffective is because our will doesn't align with God's. You see, if you study Jesus' prayer in the garden, he does ask his Father to take the cup away from him. But every time Jesus prayed, he said these words, "May your will be done." You see, what Jesus longed for more than anything else was not his own comfort or convenience, not for God to give him what he wanted. It was for God's will to be done. He cared about that more than anything else. And that forces me and you to ask a question. When we pray, when we go to God, are we asking for what we want or what God wants? I mean, think about your prayer life. Think about this last week when you went to God and you asked him for something. Ultimately, were you just asking God to fulfill your desires, or were you asking him to fulfill his desires? Because the Bible clearly teaches us that, look what it says, we have confidence. And the reason why we have a confidence approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, I know we all wish that says, ask anything, right? God, just give us anything we want. Like, hey, God, need that. Hey, God, that. Wouldn't it be awesome if God just granted us everything we wanted and needed? But then he wouldn't be God. You know what he'd be? A genie, right? We would be God and he would just be our servant. But the truth is, when it comes to prayer, when it comes to Jesus, hey, will you take this cup away from me? God didn't give Jesus what he asked because it didn't align with his will. Can you imagine if it did? Can you imagine if God chose to say, you know what, Jesus? Forget the cross. You know what, Jesus? Forget it. Like, I get it. You don't want to suffer. Hey, let's just kind of go past this. Can you imagine what it would mean for you and I? Our salvation, our rescue, our redemption wouldn't exist. Sin would reign supreme forever and ever. Every injustice and horrible thing that we encounter in this world would continue on and on. That's why when it comes to our walk with God, if you want to walk with God at a deep level, you have to get to this place in your life where you declare that his will is better than yours. Where you just say, God, your way is better than my way. And listen, I know how ridiculously hard that is. Because if I'm honest, I like my way. I think my way is actually pretty good. But one thing we have to understand about our way is we only see life through our perspective. We see what we want through the lens of our own life and our own world. God sees everything through the realm of eternity. And sometimes the thing you're asking for isn't going to fulfill what God needs to do in the grand scheme of things. And so we have to get to the place, as hard as it is, when we pray, God, I desperately need this, God. God, would you do this for me? I'm telling you, it's okay to ask God for whatever you need. But when you pray, God, what I want more than anything else is your will to be done. So when it comes to our prayer life, I think there's a couple practical steps that we can take just this week. When we pray this week, that will help us. It will help us when we feel like our prayers are ineffective. The first step is, I think we have to choose over and over again to confess our sins to God. Let me give you just a small window into my prayer life. You see, when I spend time with God in the mornings, when I go to pray, just me and God, here's some of the first things that I say. Dear God, forgive me. God, forgive me for the way that I treated Ashley these last couple days. I was selfish and she didn't deserve that. God, forgive me for my impatience with my children. God, sometimes they can drive me crazy, but I'm their dad. So help me to be patient with them. Sometimes I just gotta say, God, forgive me for the things that I do that rebel against you that I don't even see anymore. Because I think we're so good as people justifying our sin, where we just need to ask God to forgive us for the things that we don't even know. And what happens to my heart when I pray that way is what it does is when I receive God's forgiveness, when I confess my sins to him, it reminds me, it helps me know that God does care for me. Because what I know is the cost of my forgiveness. I know that Jesus had to go to that cross where his body had to be broken and his blood had to be shed so I could be forgiven. And out of that, I just know when I pray, God cares for me. His word says to each and every one of you, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And then third, align your will with his. Take whatever you want to God. Don't ever hesitate to take any request to God. But when you take that request to him, repeat the words of Jesus, God, I need this. God, would you provide for me in this? But may your will be done. And when our hearts enter prayer with that posture, what it does is it adjusts our expectations of God. Because I think for some of us in our prayer life, we just use prayer to get from God what we want. It's almost like prayer is the motive of God becoming our vending machine. And so we pray these really good prayers, these desperate prayers to push the right buttons of God so he will give us what we want. And honestly, if that's your prayer life, you're missing it. You're missing out on the beauty of just talking with your heavenly Father. Jesus went to his dad and he said, take this cup from me. And his dad said, no. And that reminds me of one of the most famous passages in the Bible. It says this, for God so loved the world. God the Father loved you enough that he would say no to his son's suffering, that he would give his one and only son to die a horrible death on a cross for you. So why? So if we choose to believe in him, we would experience eternal life. And today we celebrate that. Today we revel in that. Today we remember that. You see, God didn't give Jesus what he asked for so he could give us what we needed. And today we want to remember that through communion by two symbols that remind us of Jesus' body that was broken for us and his blood that was shed for us. And I think one thing we can do is just practically apply this message. Our band's going to come and they're going to lead us in a song. And as our band sings, here's my challenge for you. Is why not spend a moment in prayer? And when you pray, confess your sins to God. God, will you forgive me for the areas I fall short of your standard? God, would you remind me today that you care for me? May I be reminded of your cross that declares you care for me. And God, would you help me trust in your way? May I submit to it, may I surrender it, may your will be done. And so as our band sing, I would encourage you right now to bow your head and your heart and to take that moment and to talk with God before we celebrate and remember his sacrifice. You do that now.